This is a true story taken from an actual medical file.
Glorious music, isn't it? Written by an obscure choir master of Leipzig, whose sight had been failing for many years, who found almost his only consolation in the music he could play on the great organ of the school where he worked. Johann Sebastian Bach had suffered from cataracts of both eyes for many years, and if he was to continue working and composing, he had to face a difficult and painful operation at a time when work of this kind was pathetically primitive. As a medical man, I've always been interested in the history of my profession, and I'd like to bring you this story under the title of The Same Melody, a Different Instrument.
Medical File. Factual stories of the men and women whose vigilance guards our lives. A reconstruction of clinical case histories, step by step with the doctors who were there. Medical File.
Please, Johann, dear. Won't you sit down? You'll tire yourself out.
I'm sorry, my dear. Do I bother you?
No, no, not me, Johann. But you'll wear yourself out at a time when you need so much strength.
I feel so restless, so apprehensive.
Of course you do, dear. I do understand.
I've had understanding from you in greater measure than any man has a right to expect from a wife.
And if that's made me happy, Johann, what then?
That's more than any man deserves.
No, it's not more than you deserve. For what you've done for me, for our family, and for what you've done for music.
Tried to do. 40 young voices in harmony is about all that I've managed to achieve.
Oh, no, dear, that's not true. There's your music.
Lines of little black notes on sheets of manuscript. Hard to play, hard to read. Almost impossible for others, and quite impossible for me.
But you know almost every note by heart, Johann. And then after the surgeon has been tomorrow and the cataract's been taken away...
Then, my dear, what then? Merciful heaven, what then?
My dear, you'll be able to see again.
Yes, yes, of course. But it isn't often that this operation is successful. Perhaps I shall never see again.
We'll pray for success, Johann.
Thank you, my dear. But you see why I'm agitated and why I walk up and down in the only spot where I can feel safe. In our parlor.
But surely if you went to bed...
I couldn't settle. Not in my present state of mind. If only I could play the organ for a little while. But that's impossible. This time of night and there won't be time. Tomorrow.
Go and play, Johann.
It's late, isn't it? I heard the clock chime 11. Long time
ago. It doesn't matter. If it will settle you, go and play the organ.
But the whole school is asleep.
Oh, it won't matter, not just this once. Gottfried will lead you to the hall.
If only I could play the Passion once more. I think that then perhaps I could sleep.
Go on now, my dear.
Put your hand on my shoulder, Father. There, got it?
I've got it, my son. But Grunwald is sure to come down to complain at the noise.
You leave the schoolmaster to me, Johann. Go along now. I'll be waiting to hear it myself.
All right, my dear. Ready, son?
Ready, Father.
Then lead the way, and perhaps another day I won't have to depend on you quite as much as I do now. I can tell we're in the hall, my son, but there's no light anywhere, is there?
No, Father. But there's enough starlight coming in through the windows for me to see.
Don't stumble into any of the choir stalls and hurt yourself.
No, Father. I can see where I'm going well enough. Here, feel there.
The organ seat. I can manage now.
I'll work the pump for the organ, Father.
You should be good at it now.
Although it's always a help when one of the choir boys can give a hand.
And I imagine the little bits of money goes a long way at the street shop.
Yes, it does. What are you going to play?
Perhaps not to your taste, son, but I want to hear the Passion just once more.
Grunwald, I thought it would be you.
Of course it's me. What did you expect, making such a noise at this time of night? I came down as soon as I could put my clothes on.
You were in bed then, Herr Grunwald?
In bed? Of course I was in bed. So is everyone else. But they won't be for long if this noise keeps up.
Well, come in, Herr Grunwald.
I won't come in. I demand that this noise is stopped immediately.
That is a noise. Just listen to it for a moment.
Well, there are noises and noises. It's impressive. But playing the great organ at something to midnight and making everyone jump up from their sleep is a noise.
Well, I don't think it disturbs the scholars, and Johann won't play for very long. So won't you come in?
Well, so long as he does stop it in a few minutes. Yes, all right. But I must speak to him about it.
If you wish, Herr Grunwald. But why didn't you go into the hall and stop him?
Well, a man just doesn't stop a man in the middle of an organ piece. Anyway, the hall was in darkness.
Well, of course it was, but perhaps you were too kind-hearted to stop him.
Nonsense. Nothing of the kind. I'll have to speak to him very severely about it.
Well, that's a pity, because he's doing little harm.
But we can't have the school turned into a recital chamber at any hour of the night and day.
Of course you can't. Would you care for a little wine?
No, thank you.
Well, I intend to take some. Won't you join me?
Well, perhaps just a sip. What's this all about, then?
Johann hasn't done such a thing before, and I promise you he won't again. But tomorrow, the English surgeon comes.
Oh. Oh, it's that, is it?
You've been very good to us while we've been here.
Johann has been a good choirmaster. But, is this music of his worth the trouble?
We think it is, Herr Grunwald.
Seems to me that he's got precious little out of it. It hasn't done that eye condition of his any good, I'm sure.
No, that's true, but it's meant so much to him over so many years that he's been partly rewarded by the pleasure it's given him.
That's about all you can say.
Listen. The piece is finished now. He'll be back shortly, and then you can speak to him. And tomorrow has already begun.
I didn't notice the chimes, dearest. What time is it?
Just after 9. You did have quite a good night's rest after all.
Thanks to you. It won't be long now, then.
Not long. No. I've poured a little brandy into a glass for you.
But I seldom touch the stuff.
I know, it's only a little, but it'll help.
Well, to please you, it's loathsome, the idea that I've got to soak myself in spirits in order to retain my courage as a man. This operation is supposed to be for my good.
And it will be. You'll see again, properly, not just a faint glimmer. Oh, think how wonderful it will be.
I have been thinking about it, my dear, incessantly. But so long as I can see your face again, I should have been well repaid.
Drink your brandy, Johann.
All right, my dear.
There, it's gone.
And now it's time. Let me kiss you.
Now I'm ready. Are you there, my son?
I'm here, Father. Give me your hand.
Thank you, my boy.
You can take me to the surgeon's assistance, but you are not to remain. Come back here to your mother.
But, Father...
I shall be all right. But you are not to remain. You understand?
Yes.
Then we shall go arm in arm, you and I, just for this once. And then it won't be necessary again. Goodbye, my dear. Goodbye. And don't be afraid.
Goodbye, Johann. God bless you.
Frau Bach, everything is nearly ready. I just wanted to speak to you, to assure you, to give you a little encouragement.
Dr. Taylor, that is kind of you to think of me at this time. But it's what you can do for my husband that matters. Can your surgery restore his eyesight?
There is every hope that it can, madam. During my many years as a surgeon, I have successfully treated such cases. Of course, your husband's left eye is very bad indeed.
Yes, it wouldn't be very long before his right eye failed entirely as well. Blindness also has its terrors for Johann.
That the fear of the operation dwindled a little, I fancy. Yes, well, that's a good thing. But it will not be easy, eh? I must warn you of that.
I'm ready for that, Doctor. And as far as it's possible for the human spirit, so is my husband. But why has it been necessary to wait so many years before this could be done? Why not when he was a younger man, stronger?
There is a reason, madam. The manner in which the cataracts are attached to the eye itself. In age, these ties become brittle enough to be parted without damaging the eye.
You make it sound easy, Doctor.
I wouldn't deceive you, madam. I'm afraid it's not.
Both my husband and I accept that. And you and I will do what we can for him.
Frau Bach, surely you're not proposing to be there when...
Yes, I haven't told my husband, and I've left the preparations to your assistant.
Ah, yes, yes, that is best.
But I shall be there as soon as you commence the operation.
But, Frau Bach, madam, please reconsider. This is hardly a spectacle for a lady's eyes, believe me.
Johann is my husband, and I must be there.
I see. Well, I must be about my business. In a few minutes, then, Frau Bach.
Yes, Doctor. In a few minutes.
Very well. I shall see you in the other room, madam.
Good morning, Frau Bach. Is that the surgeon?
Good morning, Herr Grunwald. Yes, that is Dr. Taylor. He hopes to have a success with your Johann's eyes.
And let me hasten to say a fervent amen to that, madam.
Thank you.
Oh, but I seem to be too late to see Johann.
Yes, the surgeon's assistants came some time ago.
I know. I saw them. Frau Bach, I don't want to distress you, but I'm perturbed.
I can understand that.
You've seen them, then, these assistants?
Yes. I'm only glad that poor Johann hasn't. They look like butchers in their coarse clothes and leather aprons.
I understand that one of them actually is a butcher.
Perhaps so. But Dr. Taylor, the surgeon, has chosen them, so what can we do?
Oh, I see. Well, then, naturally, I wouldn't dream of...
Johann.
Frau Bach, are you all right?
Yes, I'm all right.
I thought for a moment you were going to faint.
It was a shock. I'm all right now. I must go to him now.
Oh, great heavens, no.
Yes, he needs me. So, of course, I must go to him.
Even students of the history of medicine find it almost impossible to believe the crudities and lack of hygiene of early surgery. Those of us who do fully appreciate the dread which patients of those days knew, often preferring death, swift and merciful, to professional mutilation, still flinch when we recall the path by which our present stage of surgical skill has been attained. Yet at the same time, we shouldn't condemn the practitioners of those times, who made up what they lacked in skill with an almost inhuman courage and perseverance. They longed so much to be able to save and heal and restore their patients to life. Yet they lacked the means. Not for them a pleasant and easy conversation that I had recently on the subject of cataracts with an elderly man who was let into my office one morning.
Buckman, forgive me. I can tell you're there, and that's about all. It takes so long for a doddering old fool like me to get settled in a chair these days.
Doddering, Mr. Brown? Good gracious me. You're not a day over 60, I'll warrant.
58, actually.
And uncertain of your whereabouts in a room because of your double cataract condition, but certainly not doddering.
Well, you know, I've been like this so long now that I'm afraid I've got into the habit of trying to sort of excuse it all. And I'm probably growing old before my time.
Now, I'm sure it'll give you a new lease of life when we've done something about those eyes of yours, Mr. Brown.
You can do something for me, Dr. Hoffman?
That's why you've come to us, isn't it?
Yes, but one never likes to hope too much.
That wouldn't be realistic. But if we said that we could remove both cataracts and, with appropriate lenses, restore 70 or 80% of vision in one eye and possibly both, what would you say to that?
I'd be overwhelmed. Well, if it wasn't for one thing.
What's that, Mr. Brown?
I'm rather worried about the operation, you know.
Oh, I should let my specialist here at the hospital worry about that if I were you.
Yeah, but I've heard such dreadful reports about it.
Yes, of course. But most of them belong to another day and age, you know. Even so, you'd have had less to worry about than a younger man with your trouble. At one time, they had to wait until a patient was about your age before the cataract lens could be removed at all.
Yes, sir, I understood, but it puzzled me. Now, why was that?
Well, you see, it's quite a simple matter of the aging of the tissues of the body. A cataract is a clouding of the small crystalline lens at the front of the eye. And when this becomes sufficiently opaque, images aren't allowed to pass through to the retina.
Yes, well, of course, it's rather like a sheet of frosted glass covering the eye.
That's right. Now then, the only effective treatment is to take away the affected lens completely. But this isn't, or wasn't so easy, because of a number of little elastic cords called zonules. Now, these are buried deep in the surrounding tissue, and the surgeon was unable to cut them for fear of injuring the eye.
Yes, I see. So what did they actually do about it?
Well, the surgeon applied force to the lens and broke the zonules, which was fairly easy in an older person, because by then, of course, they had become brittle.
One of the compensations of growing older.
Now, there are many of those, I'm sure. And many more acceptable ones, Mr. Brown. But it could be said to have proved a boon in many cases. And will help in yours, no doubt. Although now we have other and more subtler methods, too.
Well, thank you for giving me this little pep talk.
Has it pepped you up?
Oh, yes. I shall put myself in the hands of your specialist with a great deal more confidence and, I might say, hope than before I saw you.
That's fine, Mr. Brown. Now, I'll get a nurse to come and fetch you, and you can go along to him at once. I have your record card here. Oh, your initials are JSB.
Yes, that's right. It's John Simpson Brown.
Johann Sebastian Bach.
Beg your pardon, Dr. Hoffman. What did you say?
Oh, the famous classical composer, Johann Sebastian Bach, had the same trouble that you had, Mr. Brown.
Oh, really? Well, that's very interesting.
But I'm pleased to be able to tell you that in this day and age, you're infinitely more fortunate in its treatment.
Are you there, my dear?
I've been sitting here for a while, dear. You've been asleep.
Yes, but I woke to hear the birds. You have the casement open. I can feel the air.
It's pleasant this morning.
It would be nice to get out.
When you're better, you shall go over the fields again with Gottfried. He would like that.
Yes, he would like that. We both would. But never again. Never again.
Try to rest, Johann, dearest.
There will be rest in a little while. The operation didn't let me see your face once more.
All that's over now, and you're at peace.
Not quite at peace, Lena. Do you remember Curtin?
Curtin, where we met. Of course I do. But that was nearly 30 years ago.
You're so pretty.
You thought so then.
No, Lena, you are now.
I'm your wife. That's enough for me.
And I have betrayed you.
No, you haven't.
Over the music. It ruined my eyes. It just made us poor. Oh, Lena, forgive me.
It's lovely music, Johann. I've always liked it.
Have you, my love? Have you?
And I shall keep it.
No. Sell it. Sell the paper. Nobody wants the music.
I want it.
It's no good to you. It's just notes badly written on hundreds of sheets of paper. That's all.
Oh, it's more than that. But, Johann, even if it weren't, it's yours. Perhaps you can't expect much to come from music. Father never expected much. But Johann, you can be happy with music.
You feel that?
I know it.
What will become of it all? And you?
I'm here by your side. And that is all you need to know, Johann, dearest.
I heard, while I was sleeping, Lena, I heard once again my favorite.
The Passion of Our Lord, according to St. Matthew.
Yes, yes, Lena. You're possible for me to play it for the last time on the grand organ. I heard it again while I was sleeping. Now, I can rest.
Yes, Johann. Now you can rest.
Frau Barke. Oh,
he's sleeping.
Yes, Herr Grunwald, he's sleeping. It won't be long now.
He seems very peaceful now. Almost happy.
I think so, Herr Grunwald. If we could listen to the music that those ears have heard. Music so far beyond our reach. Then perhaps we could be as peaceful and as happy too.
Come in, Mr. Brown. Well, how nice to see you.
Well, you can imagine how pleased I am to be able to say the same. Well, I don't care if it is hacked. Nobody who hasn't experienced regaining their sight can possibly know what it means to a person.
Well, for one thing, I must say, it's meant a fair increase in sprightliness. I told you it would.
Yes, of course. And now that I'm able to get about, it's quite marvelous. You're sure I'm not taking up too much of your time, don't you?
Heavens, no. I wish I could spend much more of my time discussing with my patients the progress they've made.
Progress? It's a complete rebirth, I can tell you. You know, after you tell me about Johann Sebastian Bach,
yes.
I read up on him. And I see what you mean about how lucky I've been. I gather that things were pretty rough for his wife after he went.
Yes, they spent all their money on the operation. That much I did know.
Yes, well, from what I can gather, it was impossible for this chap, Grunwald, to let Frau Bach and her son, Gottfried, go on living at the school. So she moved out, and you know, she had to get the rubbish man to come and take a lot of the music away because friends wouldn't give her any attic space for it.
It does sound incredible, doesn't it? Well, I suppose most people have got a lot of junk in their cellars and attics of their own without taking in other people's. How was any of it preserved, then?
Oh, but by his widow's sheer perseverance.
Mm-hmm.
One day, it seemed, Grunwald met her in the street and they exchanged a few words.
Frau Bach! Oh, bless my soul, madam. It's so long since I've seen you. How are you?
I'm surprised that you recognize me, Herr Grunwald.
Oh, if you mean you're surprised that I acknowledge you, madam, I wonder that you wish to insult me.
Surely I should know better, Herr Grunwald. As you see, I'm quite well, all things considered, but I've had rather a hard time moving from one place to another, each little smaller than the rest.
It was a pity that you couldn't stay at the school, but the new choir master, you know, an extensive family and all.
Well, naturally, it was to be expected. The only thing that saddens me is that I've had to part with so much of Johann's music. Now, I seem to have so little compared to what he left.
Where did it go?
I suppose eventually for lining shelves and cupboards or even wrapping things up in his little shops.
But that big thing of Johann's, that piece he loved so much, surely...
No, I have the passion. Or most of it.
Most of it? Why not all of it?
I took the last part of it, the final chorus, into Zylak, the music publisher.
Yes, I know. What did he think of it?
Too difficult, he said. Who can conduct a double chorus these days? Things are not as they were when Johann was able to do that.
Things are never the same. But don't let that discourage you. Take it to another publisher.
Zylak was busy, didn't want to see me, and then it appeared he'd lost the folio I gave him. So the passion isn't even complete now.
All the same, madam, perhaps someone else will.
You always had a word of encouragement for us, Herr Grunwald. Even more so in the darkest times, but it doesn't matter anymore. I'll keep it until even I have no more use for it. And then the world can forget us both. And Johann's music as well.
But the world didn't forget.
Well, you've certainly taken the opportunity to do a fair bit of research on that story.
Well, it's been very interesting to me. You know, I mustn't overdo it, of course, but with my sight restored, thanks to your people, I'd have been a bit, insensitive not to follow up the lead you gave me. From reading the first part of the story, I can see just how lucky I've been. But, you know, there's one thing that puzzles me.
Oh, yes, Mr. Brown?
Well, from what I can make out, is some sort of chemical process seemed to be involved in my operation, or have I got my facts wrong?
No, Mr. Brown, you're quite right. In the middle 1950s, a Dr. Joaquin Barraque was using alpha chymotrypsin to treat a blood clot behind a patient's lens. And to the Spanish doctor's astonishment, the whole lens came away.
Oh, my goodness.
You remember I told you of the zonules holding the lens?
Those elastic cords.
That's right. Well, it appeared that the chemical had cut through them without damaging any of the other eye tissues. Now, naturally, this makes treatment of such cases as yours so much easier. But it also does something else.
Well, what's that?
It means that, given appropriate conditions, people need no longer suffer many years of partial blindness until the operation becomes possible in middle age.
This chemical has the same effect on younger people?
Sufficiently similar to hold out strong hope of success when performed on patients of under middle age. And, of course, these discoveries, deliberate or, as in this case, accidental, well, they're being amended and improved the whole time.
Yes, I suppose things really do move at a pace today.
Indeed.
All the same, it's good to be able to savor the things of the past. Well, appreciating how lucky we are that these improvements have been made. And I'm particularly lucky that after the passing of 2 centuries, I didn't have to go through all that.
You know, Mr. Brown, put into terms that I think Bach would appreciate, it's the same melody. That is, the same job of cataract removal. But played on a rather different instrument. That's all. Each generation has its benefits and its drawbacks. Although life seemed to have been hard for many of the classical composers of the past, it gives a renewed confidence in mankind that in the middle of such enormous progress in the technical and medical fields alike, we today can savor to an even greater extent, possibly, the great works of the past that their own generations treated with such neglect and even disdain.
Medical File, the documented story of the men and women who in hospitals, research centers, and lonely surgeries guard our lives. Listen again next week for another true story from Medical File.